But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Let me tell you a story. There was a car in Beaumont that was driving down Interstate 10. And it was weaving in and out of traffic. It was coming up behind on people's bumpers, honking the horn. There was a woman inside, and she's shaking her fist, and she's making all sort of motions with her hands. Policeman sees it, pulls up behind her, pulls her over. Doesn't just pull her over and, you know, want to walk up to the door and just, you know, ask for the license and the registration. They pull up to the door of this car with guns down, demanding her to get out of the car, has her lay prostrate on the street while these guns are down pointed on her. And they walk up to handcuff her, and this woman's like, "Well, why are you doing me like this? Why are you doing me like this? This ain't right. This ain't right." And the police said, "Because of the bumper sticker." Now, I've heard this story before. "Because of the bumper sticker." "What bumper sticker?" "The bumper sticker on the back of your car." "What bumper sticker?" "Beaumont Seventh-day Adventist Church. We thought the car was stolen based upon the way you were acting out in public." Now, what kind of fruit are we offering to the public out there? What do people see in us? The verses before Galatians 22 and 23 are the exact opposite. They tell us what we see if we fail to cultivate or practice or fail to ask the Holy Spirit to be in our heart. The verses before 22 and 23 speak of idolatry, adultery, jealousy, murder, drunkenness, and the like. Those are the practices that you would not inherit the kingdom of God, so says Paul in his gospel to the church. The story I told you of the woman being pulled over points out that Christians are held to a higher standard, rightly so. Rightly so. Others may not necessarily understand us, and they may find us a bit peculiar, but they expect us to be different. If you call yourself a Christian, you should stand out. It was brought up today with Craig with the Sabbath school lesson. You know, they may not want you coming over their house all the time bothering them about Bible study, but they want you as their neighbor. We make great neighbors. No loud parties, no hooligans running around. We keep our yards, hopefully, fairly tidy. Whenever given an opportunity, we offer help, assistance. We should always give somebody a nice smile and a hello and a pleasant thank you. Those are fruits. And whenever possible, we need to invite them to vacation Bible school and Wednesday night Bible study and come to worship with us as well. I'd like to look at some of the traits found in the Bible that are associated with the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. You know what? I'm going to stop right there. Because if I was to say patience, I think my wife, Johnette, would walk right up here, take the microphone from me, go sit down, and wait patiently until I come up with a new sermon topic. I'm a work in progress. I promise you, the Holy Spirit is always working on me, and patience is one of my biggest opportunities. In Galatians, Paul says that the fruit of the Spirit is. He's speaking in the singular. He's not talking about separate traits that operate independently of one another. The fruit of the Spirit, it's the whole thing. The Holy Spirit creates within us and defines the person that we are to become. The fruit of the Spirit is like a diamond ring. Each facet or cut represents one of those traits. But as a whole, the ring is its brightest and it's the most sharpest. It's the most beautiful when all the facets are there. All are polished. All are out there for the world to see. Our lives can be and should be a beauty as we are representing of the Holy One. God's purpose is to make us like Jesus. And it's a task of the Holy Spirit to make that change in us. The fruit of the Spirit is a changed being, 2 Corinthians. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The fruit of the Spirit is the new in you. The key point to my presentation tonight is this, or today. The focus is not how we can become more patient, more loving, and more kind, but on how we can let the Holy Spirit make us more like Jesus, who is more patient, more loving, and more kind. It's not us. Matthew 7:20, therefore by their fruits you will know them. By our actions we are representing our Savior. By our words and our actions we either show them in error or accuracy who Jesus is. Jesus is loving, caring. He is perfect. We have that opportunity if we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us that we can show that character trait. It's not our trait. We get to show Jesus' trait to the world. That's what we got to hang on to. We must always ask for the Holy Spirit to guide us in our Christian life. Being a true Christian and bearing good fruit places the emphasis on Jesus and who He is and not who we are. Amen. Actors play roles in the movies. You know, I'm a fan of John Wayne. I'm that demographics. I like John Wayne. I mean, he always plays this tough character, you know, a good sheriff, a faithful soldier. There's been actors that played Mahatma Gandhi, a loving, caring, peaceful kind of person. You know, I'd even like to think sometimes that I had a little John Wayne in me, you know. You know, I'll jump in a scuffle in a heartbeat if I think I'm on the right side of it, you know. We can look good and appear to do good, but unless the Holy Spirit gives us a new heart, we will never truly be the kind of people that we want to be. You'll never work hard enough to be good enough. What it is, the key to it is, the more you give up, the more you can become. That's the key. The fruit of the Spirit is love. 1 Corinthians 13:3. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Love is the paramount virtue of Christians because it's the trait that most characterizes God. It is His love that sustains us and makes Himself known to us. By giving us His Son in order to redeem us. What does love do? This is paraphrase. Love suffers long and is kind, thinks no evil, rejoices in the truth, bears all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Defining love is one step, though. Applying it's the next. You can't argue against love. It's the most powerful force in our creation. People can argue against your theology. They can argue against your lifestyle, your beliefs, your faith. But they can never argue against unconditional love. You show somebody unconditional love, you've made a friend. A seminar professor set up his class in a very specific way. This is one of the most telltale stories that I've ever seen in my life that has, this drives me. He set up his class where the seminary students, they had to go from classroom to classroom on his campus. They were to go to classroom to waiting other students, and they were going to give the story and sermon, mini sermon, about the Good Samaritan. And the pastor, teacher, set up in a hallway this homeless man to be there on purpose. This really did happen. Almost all of the students rushed past this man who was laying on the floor ground, obviously needing help, as they rushed to go tell a sermon about the Good Samaritan. This is true. This is a real life story. And listen, that'd be you and me too rushing past him. I'm that woman. You know, I promise you, there's been times where I've gone out there to bring food to the homeless with my family and didn't stop to say a prayer. All that was on my mind was, I got to get this food out. I got to get this bottled water out. I got to get them packages so they'll have all the toiletries that they need. And I got to head down to the bus stop and get those people there, and I hope we have enough. How many times have I caught myself where I didn't stop to ask prayer? My son, the last time we're leaving Martin Luther King Drive and the Interstate 10 underpass, I start headed down to the downtown, and my son goes, well, what about the other people down the next underpass? My 9-year-old. I was in such a sense of urgency to go take care of business that I wasn't taking care of business. Shame on me. He told me, we turned around, we came back, and those people were so grateful. We come showing up with food. In fact, I have to admit, that was a time, and I shared it with our first elder. That was the man that when I came up, he had tears in his eyes because he had just said he was in prayer with God. He told God he was hungry. He told God he's hungry, and we're showing up with bags of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches because my 9-year-old reminded me. Consider these words. I was hungry, and you formed a humanities club to discuss it. I was in prison, but you complained about the crime rate. I was naked, and you debated the morality of my appearance. I was sick, and you thanked God for your health. I was homeless, and you preached to me about the shelter of God's love. You seem so holy and so close to God, but I'm still hungry, lonely, cold, and in pain. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Joy and happiness are not the same thing. You got to remember that. Happiness is based upon circumstances. Joy is inside, and your true joy can only come from God. I can be happy that my truck started. I'm joyful that I got a truck. I need the transportation. I'm happy that my daughter says thank you. I'm joyful that I have a daughter. You have put gladness in my heart more than in the season than their grain and wine increase. There is joy not because things have gone our way, but because of what is in our heart. The greater joy is coming from knowing and trusting God. Happiness is unpredictable. It is determined, again, by circumstances. We're told to rejoice in the Lord. Our spiritual stability is directly related to our knowledge of and commitment of God. You know, that's why in the Psalms, you know, the Psalms were put to a music so God's people could remember Bible scripture, so they could pass it on. That's what's joy. He wanted us to have joy. He wants us to know what is in that good book. He wants us to know what's in here. Here's the joy. You can debate all day about what you think you like. Break open the book and find out what you know. There's joy. There's fulfillment. There's no greater joy than being obedient to the will of God. As I've gotten older, my joy comes from the fact that I become more and more obedient. Because when I'm not obedient, I'm ashamed. That's not joy. Becoming a committed Christian is no assurance of money, fame, influence, or free from worldly troubles. In fact, I will promise, I will assure you that the closer you get to God, the less rich you're going to be by the world's standards. Because you can have $1 billion. But if you are truly of the faith, you're going to be spending a lot of time giving that money away to the right kind of people. That's all. If you've got 3 cars, you're looking to find somebody that's walking. That's, believe me. And that's okay. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Do I put myself in a place where the Holy Spirit can fill me with the peace of the Savior? Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our relationship to God, we have been restored. The fellowship has been reestablished. As we grow as maturity as children of God, we experience more and more the blessings of living under His law. As Dio said, if you pray for it, if you have the right relationship, if you ask for it, He'll say yes. But you've got to have that relationship. You just can't kind of come and go. You got to come and stay. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Story of two painters. Both were given a task of painting a scene of what peace looked like. Now, one painter, as you maybe would imagine, he paints a scene of a serene lake surrounded by a stand of trees up high into the mountains, just so peaceful. You know, think of, you know, Bob Ross. Hey, who doesn't love Bob Ross? If you've not seen Bob Ross paint, he'll take a paintbrush that big and just make the most intricate painting. It's just incredible. The second painter painted a thundering waterfall with a fragile birch tree limb bending just over the fall. At the fork of the branch, almost wet with the spray of the roaring waterfall, set a robin in its nest. What is peace to you? This, I answer, should be your peace. Not the serene lake where nothing's going on. That's happiness. Peace is during turmoil, during a lot going on around you, but nevertheless, you feel safe right there in the fork of that birch tree, right near that huge waterfall. That's peace. One thing we cannot do is equate peace to life with no problems. Peace has more to do with how we handle the circumstances that life gives us. Again, happiness is, I hope nothing goes wrong. Peace is, when things go wrong, it's going to be okay. How we handle these circumstances and the occurrences show the world that we're not tied to it. Our thoughts don't end with what the world has to offer or what they have to say. What fruit are we offering? Through the study of the Word of God. Again, I keep reminding you, we'd love to see you on Wednesday. You want to break open the good book and get a little study time. That's good time. That's time well spent. You want to have an opportunity to have peace? You got to know the Word. We invite you for Wednesday night Bible study. Through prayer, through the right kind of thought, and through our Christian witness, we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. That is how we're going to be Christ-like. It's not that we are good, but it is the Holy Spirit working in us, making us more Christ-like. I don't want to be the best Johnny I can be. I just want to be a shadow of what Jesus was. That is much greater than the best Johnny could be. Because the best Johnny could be is useless and worthless. Those who, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit in obedience. The word of God received into his soul will be manifest in good works. Manifest in good works. Are you manifesting? Every day, are you manifesting? I want to manifest. How do we grow the fruit of the Spirit? By studying the Word of God. 2 Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Through prayer, prayer is the breath of the soul. It is the secret to spiritual power. No other means of grace can substitute. Prayer brings the heart into immediate contact with the wellspring of life. Through the right kind of thought. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Through our Christian witness, the fruit of the Spirit is not going to happen on its own. Your choices will determine your path. Our God loves us enough that he is not going to make us accept the fruit of the Spirit. He's not going to make us allow the Holy Spirit to be in our lives. He gives us that choice, and it's up to you whether you let that choice be yes or no. Gardening, perfect example. I am the world's worst gardener. I know, and listen, I'm going to argue I am. You can spend a long time with me, but you'll lose. I'm almost certain of it. Because not gardening doesn't count as being a bad gardener. So if you don't garden, I don't want to hear it. Only if you're willing to get a hoe, make a row, then you can talk to me about you being worse than me. Okay? I attempt to do the least and expect the most. I quickly create the rows, you know. I don't take any soil samples. I'm the only person I know who can look at a soil and go, that's a little too acid. I need to put some pH in there. You know, I'm the only one that won't take a soil sample. I'm just guessing. But I plant my seeds, I quickly put them out, and then I sit back and think, okay, God, get after it. Get her done. That's why you've never seen the Barnetts show up with a basket of excess fruit and vegetables to share with this church family. Forget weeding and watering. When it turns brown, it's time to water. I mean, come on. It rains so much here, my thought is, every time I want to mow, it rains, right? So whenever my garden gets dry, I plan on mowing. I figure it's going to rain any minute. And weeding, I wait until I can't tell the difference between the vegetables and the weeds. When they're both the same height, then I go in for a few minutes and pull what I think is the weeds, you know, and go about my business. We you, I. We can't make a seed grow. God had already put inside that seed what's necessary for it to grow. We can, however, nurture that seed. We can put it in the right kind of soil. We can make sure we pull the weeds around it. We can make sure we place it in a place where it's going to get the right amount of sun, and we can water it. We can nurture it. Are you nurturing the fruit of the Spirit? Are you waiting to God just to hit you over the head with it? Or do you? It's already there for you. We have to nurture it, just like anything else. If you don't see the fruit of the Spirit in you, do you think your neighbor is seeing the fruit of the Spirit in you? We must be engaged, committed, involved in the part of the work being done here on earth. For it is these actions that God works on us, with us, and through us to develop our fruit so that we can be a blessing to others. If we don't work on our own garden, we can't produce the fruit that we can share with others. If we let the weeds grow up and cover our fruit, no one knows they could come by and pick some. To conclude, the world needs to desperately be a demonstration of unselfish, caring, lasting, committing, and unswerving devotion to God. By God's grace, you, me, we can provide such a demonstration. Yet we must remember that the message we have for the world is also for ourselves. How many times have you said something to someone and realized that it was even best served if you took your own advice? Until the principles of the gospel, unity, love, and self-sacrifice are made manifest among us, we will be powerless to share this message with others. All the eloquent sermons, all the logical biblical presentations aren't enough. The world needs to see in us a turned heart, a repentant heart, a committed heart. Lastly, a loving heart in ourselves. As we allow the Holy Spirit to develop each cut of that ring, each facet, each fruit of the Spirit, others will be drawn by its brilliance and come to get a closer look. And yes, they will come to look at your fruit. If it's shining bright, if you've allowed the Holy Spirit to polish those facets, others will come to look at that brilliance. And when they do, please hear this, if the brilliance is there, here is what we would tell them. It's not us that shines, but Jesus shining in us. Remember that. When we shine, it's not us shining. It is Jesus shining in you. Allow him to show the world some of his character by our fruit of the Spirit. Father in heaven, thank you so much. Father, allow us the opportunity to be your children and to be students so that the Holy Spirit will touch our hearts. We know we have a lot to offer because you've told us that we do. Take pride from our hearts, Father. Give us a David's heart that we're willing to go out there and challenge the world and tell the world that no matter what it throws at us, we will stand firm. In Christ's name we pray, amen.